And God's people, let's take the word of the Lord and turn to Exodus chapter 35, verse 4. And we'll read through chapter 36 and verse 7. Exodus chapter 35, verse 4, through chapter 36, verse 7. And before we read the word and hear the word preached, let's go to the Lord and ask for his blessing upon the reading and preaching of his word. Our gracious Father, we're thankful that you are the God who is our protector, and the God who is our provider, as you are our King. And you protect us by your word, you provide for us in your word everything for faith and life. And so we pray that we would not be those who live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of your mouth. And that you would keep us from evil, even in our service to the church. Father, help us and give us ears to hear by your Holy Spirit. And grant to us understanding and knowledge and wisdom of your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Exodus chapter 35, we start in verse 4. These are God's holy words, and they are very applicable. They are perfectly applicable to our lives today. Moses spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, "This is the thing which the Lord has commanded, saying, take from among you a contribution to the Lord. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it as the Lord's contribution, gold, silver, and bronze, and blue, purple, and scarlet material, fine linen, goat's hair, and ram skins dyed red, and porpoise skins, and acacia wood, and oil for lighting, and spices for the anointing oil, and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones and setting stones for the ephod and for the breastpiece. Let every skillful man among you come and make all that the Lord has commanded, the tabernacle, its tent, and its covering, its hooks and its boards, its bars, its pillars, and its sockets, the ark and its poles, the mercy seat and the curtain of the screen, the table and its poles and all its utensils, and the bread of the presence, the lampstand also, for the light and its utensils and its lamps and the oil for the light and the altar of incense and its poles and the anointing oil and the fragrant incense and the screen for the doorway at the entrance of the tabernacle. The altar of burnt offering with its bronze grating, its poles and all its utensils, the basin and its stand, the hangings of the court, its pillars and its sockets and the screen for the gates of the court. The pegs of the tabernacle and the pegs of the court and their cords, the woven garments for ministering in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister as priests." Then all the congregation of the sons of Israel departed from Moses' presence. Everyone whose heart stirred him and everyone whose spirit moved him came and brought the Lord's contribution for the work of the tent of the meeting and for all its service and for the holy garments. Then all whose hearts moved them, both men and women, came and brought brooches and earrings and signet rings and bracelets, all articles of gold. So did every man who presented an offering of gold to the Lord. Every man who had in his possession blue and purple and scarlet material and fine linen and goat's hair and ram skins dyed red and porpoise skins brought them. Everyone who could make a contribution of silver and bronze brought the Lord's contribution, and every man who had in his possession acacia wood for any work of the service brought it. All the skilled women spun with their hands and brought what they had spun in blue and purple and scarlet material and in fine linen. All the women whose hearts stirred with the skill spun the goat's hair. The rulers brought the onyx stones and the stones for setting for the ephod and for the breastpiece, and the spice, and the oil for the light, and for the anointing oil, and for the fragrant incense. The Israelites, all the men and women, whose heart moved them to bring material for all the work which the Lord had commanded through Moses to be done, brought a freewill offering to the Lord. Then Moses said to the sons of Israel, "See, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and in knowledge and in all craftsmanship, to make designs for working in gold and in silver and in bronze and in the cutting of stones for settings and in the carving of wood, so as to perform in every inventive work. He also put in his heart to teach both he and Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan. He has filled them with skill to perform every work of an engraver and of a designer and of an embroiderer, in blue and in purple and in scarlet material and in fine linen, of a weaver, as performers of every work and makers of designs. Now Bezalel and Aholiab, and every skillful person in whom the Lord has put skill and understanding to know how to perform all the work and the construction of the sanctuary, shall perform in accordance with all that the Lord has commanded." Then Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab, and every skillful person in whom the Lord had put skill, everyone whose heart stirred him, to come to the work to perform it. They received from Moses all the contributions which the sons of Israel had brought to perform the work and the construction of the sanctuary, and they still continued bringing to him freewill offerings every morning. And all the skillful men who were performing all the work of the sanctuary came, each from the work which he was performing. And they said to Moses, "The people are bringing much more than enough for the construction work which the Lord commanded us to perform." So Moses issued a command, and a proclamation was circulated throughout the camp, saying, "Let no man or woman any longer perform work of the contributions of the sanctuary." Thus the people were restrained from bringing any more, for the material they had was sufficient, and more than enough for all the work to perform it. And those are the words of our God. And you go back to chapter 35, and you remember now, back in chapter 32, that sin of idolatry, the taking of the gold and forming it into the golden calf, and they worshipped it and they called it Yahweh. And we have, from that time, seen signs that Israel is now, when they were in sin and blasphemy and they were far from God. But now it seems they are committed to the Lord. That Moses as mediator was then, as a sign, was to cut those two tablets of stone and give to the Lord to write out those commandments again. But now more fully, Israel, having seen the mercy and compassion and the grace of Yahweh, they have now been called to faithfulness to the Lord. To have that renewed obedience that comes in line with Yahweh's mercy. And so because Yahweh is merciful and gracious, now how is Israel to live? And how are we to live in view of His mercy and grace? And so we heard that they were to partake in the sign of the covenant, the Sabbath. Every Sabbath they were to keep holy by resting in the Lord, that they and we are not to do any work on the Sabbath day. And today, of course, that's the Lord's day. That's today when we come to worship the Lord. Every Sabbath they were to keep holy by resting in the Lord, or resting unto the Lord, focusing our full attention on the Lord God Almighty and all that He's done, especially in the gospel of Jesus Christ. But now in our passage, there is further need, not only to the need to keep the Sabbath holy for the good of our souls, Israel's souls, church's soul today, but the need we show forth that we are willing to serve the Lord in obedience. And so not only do you come to worship on the Lord's Day, the Sabbath day, but you also in the worship or on the Lord's Day, you come showing that you want to be faithful to Him. You want to be obedient to Him. And those two things we'll see in our passage shows that faithfulness, that obedience, when we come to worship the Lord or come on the Sabbath day focusing on Him. And so you remember in chapters 25 through 31 that they the Lord gave Moses, and then Moses gave Israel the blueprints of the tabernacle, all how it's supposed to be set up, the tent of meeting, and the Ark of the Covenant, all those things, how they were to be constructed, the length and the width, all these things. And we've received that already, but now we actually are seeing, as we talked about a little bit last week, till the end of the book, the actual constructing of these things. And that begins with the first point, as they're trying to be faithful to the Lord on the Sabbath, that they might worship Him. We see in the first point the need for contributors. The need for contributors. In verse 4 it says, Moses spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, "This is the thing which the Lord has commanded, saying, take from among you a contribution to the Lord. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it as the Lord's contribution. Gold and silver and bronze and blue, purple and scarlet material, fine linen, goat's hair and ram skins dyed red, and porpoise skins and acacia wood, and oil for lighting and spices for the anointing oil, and the fragrant incense, the onyx stones and setting stones for the ephod and for the breast pieces." So you see there in the language, as they're commanded to give a contribution, the Lord gives them a very specific list. And you remember that list comes from what we heard before and how the tabernacle is to be constructed and all those materials. These are the materials that are needed to construct the tabernacle we heard before in chapters 25 through 31. And so we've already somewhat addressed these things before in Exodus, so we won't go too much into the actual materials. But what we see here is Yahweh commanding Israel to give. There's a clear command to give here. To give, that they would have worship. And to give if they are willing to give. He's commanding a contribution if one is willing to give. And we ask the question every time we come to the question about giving, does the Lord need us to give to Him? No, the Lord does not need us to give anything to Him, and yet He commands it here. Because, why? He is God. He owns the cattle, like the Psalm says, He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns everything. Everything is His. He's the Creator. All the clothes we have, the cars we have, all the things, all of our property, everything throughout all of creation, even outside of the earth and all the stars, He owns it all. And so He doesn't need anything. He's God. And yet He commands giving here. If the Lord desired, He could say, "Let there be the tabernacle," and there it would be. Right? And it would be all set up. Or He could supply easily those supplies for it to be built. And it would just be right there, appearing right before Israel and before Moses. But that's not what He does. And He still doesn't do that today. That's not the way His people, in His design, that's not the way His people willingly give for His worship out of their faithfulness to Him, out of their obedience to Him, and out of their thankfulness and their willing hearts for what He's done for them. And we all know that God loves a cheerful giver. He's not after your money. He doesn't need your money. Your money is worthless to Him because He is God. He is all things. And I'm sure many believe that, though, that He is after money. Maybe not you here today, but many believe that today because of what? Because of false teachers. And so if you go out into the world, if I were to say I'm a pastor, and they have this, there's people in the world who have in the back of their mind, because I'm a pastor, because of so many false teachers and charlatans and those who idolize money, they believe perhaps that because I'm a pastor, I'm just after people's money. And I could care less, hopefully, about your money. I don't want your money. Israel, though, had a hard time pleasing Him. But what is it we find here that does please the Lord? It's the willing heart. It's a willing heart. It's a willing heart that responds to His grace and mercy. It's a willing heart that responds to His covenant renewed to them. It's a willing heart that responds to His love for His people. That's what pleases Him. Remember, he doesn't want sacrifices. Yeah, here we're looking at sacrifices, the free will offering. He doesn't want them. He wants their heart. A willing heart that would be willing to suffer a bit because you're giving to the Lord. Or a heart willing to struggle because when you give, for some of us, that's money that could be used to pay the bill that's sitting there and we're not able to pay it. And so we might struggle or suffer a bit. Even that woman who gave the two coins in the Gospels, the last two coins she had, she gave all she had. Nothing else to give to the Lord. And she was glad to give it because she was a faithful believer in Christ, a faithful follower after Him. But there are very specific things for Israel to give at this time. He sets it before them. When the Lord tells us and commands us to do something, He gives us very specific things. And here, if He says give things, give something, He gives very specific things. And why does He give us very specific things? We've talked about it already. Because these are the things that would be making up those things that need to be constructed in the temple, the tabernacle, the tent of meeting. And so He says, let the people bring these specific things of verses, end of verse 5 through verse 9. He gives a commandment here that allows us to give to Him. And He sets the instructions before us, before Israel. These materials, only these for My holy tabernacle. Who gets to decide what His worship looks like? And what the building or the structure looks like for Israel? He does, and only Him, because He's the Lord, and it's His worship. And it's the same if we applied it to our worship. What is our worship to look like today? Only the Lord determines. Only He can determine those things. And yet what has happened in our worship today is that we start even perhaps sometimes with us here in our congregation, but just thinking generally of the church in our country and what we know about the church. And even if we go throughout the world, we'll see many churches like this. They start with the wrong question about worship. They start with the question, of what has the Lord commanded us to do and how are we to do it in His worship. They don't start with that question. They start with a totally different question. They start with the question instead, what do I have to offer to God in His worship for the church? What do I have to offer the church for His worship? And whatever is available that has been offered. So if you take amongst us, you know, what can we offer? There's many different skills that we have. And they're talking about skillful workmen here and servants in our passage. What could we all give? And all of us could probably give something different. And we could offer a lot of things to God's worship. Skills that we have that don't belong in His worship because He hasn't commanded it. And yet, and some churches, you know, what are you good at? Well, then, whatever you're good at, those things, they must be given to the church. And so, someone's really good at art. And you take that for just one example. Well, then we'll set you up in front this week and we'll give you 30 minutes to do some form of art and we will worship the Lord as we observe you doing your art. But man does not get to say, here is what I will give you. Yahweh rejects those things. No, we do exactly according to His command. He even brings that out in our passage this morning. We'll get to it in a little bit. But we are to do exactly according to His command. What was the response of Israel then following His command? You go down to verse 20. Then all the congregation of the sons of Israel departed from Moses' presence. Everyone whose heart stirred him and everyone whose spirit moved him came and brought the Lord's contribution for the work of the tent of meeting, and for all its service and for the holy garments. Then all those whose hearts moved them, both men and women, came and brought brooches and earrings and signet rings and bracelets and all the articles of gold. So did every man who presented an offering of gold to the Lord. Every man who had in his possession blue and purple and scarlet material and fine linen and goat's hair and ram skins dyed red and porpoise skins brought them. Everyone who could make a contribution of silver and bronze brought the Lord's contribution. And every man who had in his possession acacia wood for any work of the service brought it. Notice that the response is not, God, you're so mean, you're so strict that only these things could be in your worship. No, what you see is obedience. And you don't see the ram skins, you see verse 23, ram skins dyed orange. You don't see ram skins dyed green being brought. It's only the ram skins dyed red and porpoise skins. And those things He exactly told them to bring. So if you had them, and you had a willing heart to give them, then you brought them. But only those things that He says you ought to bring. That's how specific the Lord is. That is, that's how holy our Lord is. That's His holiness that's being described there. All who were willing to give, the Holy Spirit was at work in their hearts. He, through the Word, He spoke through Moses, as He does today through the preacher, and He stirred up their hearts. The Holy Spirit working in them. And as their hearts were stirred up, they brought those things that they could supply from the Lord's list, from His command, and they gave them to the Lord. Well, we can apply that to our giving to the Lord today. And we have this desire to give to the Lord, knowing that He has commanded willing hearts that give to Him. And what is this a sign of? It's a sign that you're His. When we give to the Lord, it's a sign that you're His. And the Holy Spirit is indwelling you, that you're in fact a believer in Christ, if you're doing it with a willing heart. If you're just doing it because you don't really want to, but you're doing it because you have to, because you have to appear religious, then you're no different than the scribes we just read about, to appear religious before people. But if you're doing it because you want to, because of what the Lord has done for you, because of the gospel, and you have this willing heart, then it shows, it's a sign that the Spirit has worked in your heart and given you a willing heart, that you are a believer in Christ. And that should encourage you in assurance of your salvation. We do it out of a thankfulness to the Lord. If you do it out of a thankfulness to the Lord for what He's done for you in Christ, then it shows that you are a believer in Christ. You do so knowing that giving to the Lord is giving for His glory and for the growth of His kingdom here on earth through the church. You notice something, though, very peculiar about this passage now. Because we see who gives. We see who gives. Notice that it is not only the head of the household. It is not only the head of the household. It's not just the men who gave. And the men are the ones generally who were doing most of the work, right? They would go out and they would do their work and they would get paid for it, and the various means they got paid, not usually through money, but through trading and things. But this is men and women. And in verse 27, you also see the rulers too. So it's not just poor people, it's also the richer people or the rulers. Usually you'd think, though, when it comes to giving, and there's some in the church today, especially in Reformed churches today, that would think, well, it should be the head of households that would be giving on behalf of the family. But this really is an individual thing. It's an individual command. If you're willing, if your heart has stirred you, then give. You see, there are some things in the worship of God that are only for certain people. We know that. There's some things in the worship of God that are only to be performed or only to be done by certain people. That is, if we think of Israel, the offering of sacrifices, going into the tent of meeting, relighting and putting more oil in the lampstand and replacing the bread, whatever it is. There's only certain things to be done. Those things were for priests only, and especially Aaron, the high priest. It's the same with the mediator. Only Moses was mediator out of all the men, women, and children. Only him. Well, today it is the same in worship. We have certain people who can do certain things in God's worship according to His Word. And so it's the minister who is to preach God's Word and who administers the sacraments, right? And yet we also find in other areas where all are to participate. Here it is in the giving. Every man, every woman who was willing, whose heart was stirred. The same today in our worship when it comes to giving. Everyone who's willing, who has a heart that wants to give because of what Christ has done for you, ought to give in His worship. We add another element, think of singing. All who are willing are commanded to sing for the Lord. All who are willing are commanded to hear the word of the Lord right now. That is for all people, men and women. Were any women, though, called to be apostles, called to be His messengers in the formal office of the Church of Jesus Christ? No. But listen to Luke chapter 8. Soon afterward, He went on through cities and villages, proclaiming, and speaking of Jesus, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 apostles were with Him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom the 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. The women weren't the 12. They were not the 12 apostles. They weren't the 12 disciples. But they went with them to do what? To provide for them out of their own means. They had their own means. They had their own way of surviving and providing for themselves. And so they were providing to do what? So that they, the 12 apostles, the 12 disciples, could continue the gospel ministry. And so they were providing for them and helping them, proclaiming so that they would be able, the 12 apostles would be able to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. All can give. All have that privilege. You want to do more for your local congregation. And often the first thing one must come to are passages like these. If you want this congregation to continue to be a gathering where the gospel goes forth into the world and out of your heart, willingly give. Willingly give. If you really love Christ and you love His kingdom, you love His church, you love Him and what He's done for you, then willingly give so that it continues. And then verse 27. The rulers brought the onyx stones and the stones for setting the ephod and for the breastpiece, and the spice and the oil for the light and the anointing oil for the fragrant incense. The Israelites, all the men and women, whose hearts moved them to bring material for all the work which the Lord had commanded through Moses to be done, brought a freewill offering to the Lord. That is, they brought those things, and it was considered a freewill offering to the Lord. So here are the rulers also who were to bring these things, and they did. And all the men and women whose hearts were stirred, they came and they gave those things that the Lord had put in the list. And so this wasn't, as it was talking about rulers here, it's not just the poor who gave. It's not just the layman, or the non-priest in this case, who gave. It was not just the majority of Israel, it was also the rulers who gave. This command was for all of Israel. And so what we learn with the rulers and their giving these precious stones is that we are to give according to our ability. And so here's rulers who had more wealth and had these precious stones, had these fragrant aromas, the spices, those things that were really costly. They brought those things. Other people brought those things that didn't cost as much, weren't as precious, but were needed. And so like fabrics or materials or even wood. And yet all were, as they gave according to their ability, they all gave with a willing heart. And so no matter, beloved, who you were, God called Israel to give willingly. Today, for us, we are called to give to the Lord willingly as well. With cheerful hearts, hearts stirred up by the Holy Spirit so that the gospel would continue to be preached for the growing of the kingdom of God and for its glory. And so today it's still true, men and women, there is a need for contributors And secondly, the need for skilled workers. The need for skilled workers. You go back to verse 10, and so you kind of see there's a pattern of talking about the contributors and then the skillful workers throughout. It kind of goes back and forth. So back to verse 10, it shows, and you can see the Lord following the Lord's command for the need of those who contribute. We have a command for the people who are skilled in using those things that are contributed, those things that were brought. There are those skillful people, the skillful workers who take those things and they use their skill with them to construct exactly according to the Lord's command. So you see verse 10, it says, "Let every skillful man among you come and make all that the Lord has commanded. The tabernacle, its tent, its covering, its hooks, its boards, its pillars, its bars, its pillars, and its sockets. The ark and its poles, the mercy seat, the curtain of the screen, the table and its poles and all its utensils and the bread of presence, the lampstand also for the light and its utensils and its lamps, and the oil for the light, and the altar of incense and its poles, and the anointing oil and the fragrant incense and the screen of the doorway, the entrance of the tabernacle, the altar of burnt offering with its bronze grating, its poles and all its utensils, the basin and its stand, the hangings of the court, its pillars and its sockets, and the screen for the gate of the court, the pegs of the tabernacle and the pegs of the court and their cords, the woven garments for ministering in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron and the priest, and the garments for his sons to minister as priests." So those were the skilled in making those things. Those things are what had to be made. And so those skilled in those things were to come, if they were willing, and to make them for the tabernacle, who could complete the work in accordance with Chapters 25 through 31. And they come and they are to make all the Lord had commanded. And we see also that this wasn't only men as well. This included women too. Verse 25. All the skilled women spun with their hands and brought what they had spun in blue and purple and scarlet material and in fine linen. All the women whose heart stirred with the skill spun the goat's hair. And so, notice here that it's not just any skill. It's not just men and women. Well, you take a man who's really good at plumbing. That's not applicable here. Their skill is not needed here. It's those who had a skill to do and construct exactly what the Lord had commanded to be constructed. And so you see that there were some skilled women who were very good at sewing and weaving fabrics and skins. Then they must come and they must serve the Lord in these things in accordance with the commands of God. You should want to serve Him. And so there's probably a lot of people in Israel who wanted to serve, but they didn't really were able to serve. They didn't have the skills, but they could still give. And yet here He's talking about those skilled and these workings. And so how do we know if we're called to a particular service in the church? The first question you have to ask, are you able to do the work and to do it well? Are you able to do the work as God strengthens you to do it well? Are you skilled enough to do it? We might talk about singing for a moment, right? Mr. Main comes up and he is like the presenter. He starts our singing. And we might ask the question, are you skilled at doing what Mr. Main does? That you could help with our singing? And most of you would probably say, no, I'm not at all able to do that. Well then, you're not able to do that. That's not your calling and your service to our church. Well, what if you are? What if you think you are? And then, of course, there's more things to think about in that. We won't go into that right now, but how ought you to do it? And so Dave has a particular way he ought to do this. Right? He doesn't come up and he makes a big showboat out of himself and says, "Ah, I'm the greatest singer and here we're going to do this and that." No, there's a particular way to do it in the worship of God because it's of His holiness we ought to be considerate of. When ought you to do it? And there are many other questions. And so God has commanded concerning these kind of things for the making of His tabernacle. So here's these people, men and women who are skilled as they were, called to the service where they were to follow God's commands. And then down in verse 30, Yahweh gets very specific and names skilled, one skilled craftsman. It says, Then Moses said to the sons of Israel, "See, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah." The Lord has called him by his name, and so if the Lord calls you by his name, you're called. There's no question about it. You're like Jonah. Jonah was called, as we're here this evening. You are to go and you preach to the people of Nineveh and call them to repentance. And you are not to be like Jonah, as we'll see this evening, who didn't want to go because he didn't want to see the Ninevites repent. Rather, it's supposed to be the opposite of Jonah, as we're shown by the Lord there. But here he's called by name Bezalel. You are Bezalel. You're called to do this work. And it seems to show us that he was like one of a general contractor. He's kind of the head guy over the construction of the tabernacle. It wasn't Moses, because Moses was mediator. He had to worry about doing the mediator kind of things and kind of being the judge and things like that. And so here we have another man who's skilled. He's a very skilled man who is needing to be general contractor, master workman kind of guy. He would give direction and instructions and be in the authority over those who are referred to above in the passage, those skilled workers. And those skilled craftsmen who are the men and women and their different skills and crafts, they would be under the authority of Bezalel. But this one is called by name, verse 31, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and knowledge and all craftsmanship, to make designs for working in gold and in silver and in bronze and in cutting of stones for setting and carving of wood, so as to perform it every inventive work. He also put in his heart to teach both he and Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan. So he's filled with the Spirit, it says in verse 31. He's filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit here has for the very purpose of equipping him to do the work. It's not saying he's regenerated, he's born again. It's not talking about that. He's talking about much like the judges were filled with the Spirit. They were enabled, they were strengthened to do the work that was set before them. So here's the Holy Spirit, and he's equipping him, he's enabling them, strengthening him to do this work he needed to do. Because it does go. This work went beyond his skill, it shows us. You see, verse 31, it qualifies what filled with the Spirit means. In wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all craftsmanship. For what purpose? Verse 32. To make designs for working in gold and silver. And so here he's filled, enabled to do this great work and kind of be an authority over this constructing of this great work of building the tabernacle. And he had to grow substantially in wisdom and in knowledge and in understanding and in craftsmanship to be able to be this one who was called by name. To lead the other skilled workers to do the construction work exactly according to the word of the Lord. Not only, though, was he going to lead the skilled workers, like a general contractor, we think today in our terms, but he was going to, verse 33, perform every inventive work. And he was going to do the work himself. Verse 35, it says, he has filled them with skill to perform every work of an engraver and of a designer and an embroiderer in blue and in purple and in scarlet material and fine linen and of a weaver as performers of every work and makers of designs. And so Bezalel and Aholiab, who was with him, were charged with a very precise type of working, and as a master skilled worker. And so you have all these workers, and they have their skills. But here's Bezalel and Aholiab. They have greater skill, and by the Holy Spirit, they were enabled to have that greater skill. And so he's put in charge also, verse 34, of teaching, as the Spirit led him, teaching another man with Aholiab to teach the son of Ahisamach from the tribe of Dan. They were to teach others. So rulers, those who are just a principal there who rule, they are to teach. They're not just to sit there and sit on their chairs and they rule. And they rule, and that's all they do, and they sit idle and everything else. They actually get in, they teach others, and they do the work themselves. Godly rulers help those under their charge to do well the work that is before them. And then chapter 36 continues in verse 1. Now Bezalel and Aholiab and every skillful person in whom the Lord has put skill and understanding to know how to perform all the work in the construction of the sanctuary shall perform in accordance with all that the Lord has commanded. And that's, of course, very important for us to know and remember, as we've seen so many times before, when Yahweh's speaking with Moses concerning the dimensions and the construction and all the everything that had to be done for the tent of meeting. All that was to be done was to be exactly according to the command of the Lord, as it says there at the end of verse 1 in chapter 36. And so it's no different. It's no different today when we talk about what we are to do in our worship, or what, how we are to live in life. We are to do exactly according to the command of the Lord. And even in constructing and forming materials together, as the women or the men were weaving and sewing and all these things, it is vitally important for them that the Lord is, that He's saying here, everything about my worship is so important because I'm a holy God. I'm holy, holy, holy. So I'm very particular because this is my worship. And so he says here, do all in accordance with what I commanded. In verse 2, then Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every skillful person in whom the Lord had put skill, everyone whose heart stirred him to come to the work to perform it. And so after instructing all of Israel in these things, or at least the leaders of the tribes, and then setting up Bezalel and Aholiab as authority figures or leaders, in a sense, who were called by the Spirit, they were called to come. They were called to come and perform their calling. And so you don't just receive your calling and then you don't do anything. You receive your calling and then you are called to do the work. And then we have a basic summary of all that happened in verse 3. It says, they received from Moses all the contributions which the sons of Israel had brought to perform the work in the construction of the sanctuary. And they still continued, bringing to him freewill offerings every morning. And all the skillful men who were performing all the work of the sanctuary came, each from the work which he was performing. And there's an issue that arises. Verse 5. And they said to Moses, the people are bringing much more than enough for the construction work which the Lord commanded us to perform. So Moses issued a command, and a proclamation was circulated throughout the camp, saying, let no man or woman any longer perform work for the contributions of the sanctuary. Thus the people were restrained from bringing any more, for the material they had was sufficient and more than enough for all the work to perform it. So they had this problem. It was a good problem. There were too many contributions. You see, the Lord provides through His people for His worship. Too many of Israel, though, were giving to the work that needed to be done. Too many people. They kept giving more and more. And why? It's because the Lord provides above and beyond. And so if they had it, they had a willing heart. They brought it. And so this showed that their repentance and their new obedience had come in, and their desire to worship the Lord was rightly there and with thankful hearts. And so as the Lord had provided and they had these things, they had given, by the Spirit, they were given a willing heart, and they all came and they gave. And it was much more above and beyond all that they could ask or think. Because the Lord provides for His people. And so there's a need for willing contributors. As we think of the whole of the passage now, there's a need for willing contributors and willing workers. Workers from the heart. Workers and givers, contributors from the heart. And that's, of course, true in the church today. We are, or we as we think of it, are we contributing to the spread of the good news for the advancement of the kingdom of God in accordance with our abilities? We ought to know, as we praise the Lord for the mercy of God, we ought to be thankful for His grace, that we are a congregation that is filled with willing hearts that give. Otherwise, we would not be here today. Even though we're a small congregation, the Lord has often stirred us up to give for His glory. But we still need to ask that question. As we receive from the Lord, are we willing? As our hearts stirred up to give to the work of the kingdom of our Lord? And then, where you've been called to serve the church, where have you been called to serve the church? Is it in prayer? Answer's yes. In cleaning, perhaps, and being hospitable to visitors or whoever in the church, and giving. Are you called to give, or are you called in teaching and preaching and making sure everything here looks orderly and looks decent? Are you called in your homes, because that's part of the church work? Are you called in your homes to raise up your children as godly servants, as followers of Christ? All these and many other ways, and you don't necessarily just have one calling, but everyone has a calling. These all and many others, we serve the church and one another. If you're able to do it, and the Spirit enables you to do it and puts a willing heart within you to do it, then do it and serve the Lord. You think about the great problem and the subjectivism in the spiritual gifts tests that are done today. Do I have this spiritual gift? Do I have this spiritual gift? And the question is always posed wrong. Are you able to do the work? Do you have a willing heart? Is anybody else doing it? And if there's nobody else doing it, then fill in the gap. Serve where things need to be done. And so these all and many other ways we serve the church. So if you're able to do it, and the Spirit enables you to do it and puts a willing heart within you to do it, then do it, and do it for the Lord. Not to look righteous before others, not to appear religious, but to do it because Christ died for you, because Christ rose for you, because the Lord has shown you mercy and grace beyond your understanding in Christ, His Son. So again, Christ came not to be served, but to serve. And that is the heart we are to have in relationship to the church of Jesus Christ. And so we're called here to be a willing contributor and a willing servant in the church of Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for Your Son. We're thankful that You grant to us a stirring up of our hearts to give, a stirring up of our hearts to serve. We pray that You would stir up more hearts for the glory of Your Son, Jesus Christ, for the spread of the gospel, and for the good of Your church. Father, we're thankful that You have equipped many of us, all of us, by Your grace, who are in Christ. You've equipped us to do great things. Some for people who are working behind the scenes and nobody ever sees what they're doing. And yet, very vital to the very church of Christ, Your bride. And others, perhaps more before people. And for both, Father, we pray that You would bless Your willing servants and those who have a heart to give for Your church. Father, we're thankful that You're the God who provides all our needs, even beyond all that we ask or think. You're the God who does beyond what we could ever ask for. Your God has given us life in Your Son. And for that, all of us should be willing to do whatever we are called to do for your glory and your renown. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.